again. We may have folks continue to come in. That's fine. We're just going to plow right ahead. We've got a long way to go this morning. All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day, and thank you for all the folks who have come to be with us this morning. Lord, I pray and thank you for our visitors today who just pray that just help them to feel right at home today and speak to their hearts and just minister to them. And Lord, we pray that we would faithfully exposit your word today as we teach, and that the word of God would minister to us and help us, we pray. And do think of these special requests this morning for Darlene. We pray that you'd minister in her life with these very serious health needs. For Kathy Smith there on the ventilator now, we pray that as they try to take her off the next several days, that they might be successful. And Lord, just really minister to that family and help them at this time. For Rodney Weisong, Lord, they found more cancer now, and God, just really minister in that heart and life. For Wilma Carpenter with cancer, do pray for the Snovers and a little grandchild, as she'll be having open heart surgery now in October. Just really minister to Annie and his wife and help them. And for Jameson with little baby on a ventilator, Lord, very, very sick, we pray that you just minister in that life also. And Lord, just touch these ones and help them, I pray. And now just settle our hearts and our minds as we look at your word now, and speak to us from the word of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I was just thinking about, I do have a name. This is now called Siemens Sauna. Siemens Sauna. So, you know, a lot of places, they will charge you for that, and we're going to do it free today. So, good. Hopefully by now you found 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If someone's sitting around you and doesn't have a Bible, if you want to share with him, that'd be great. He was born in London on July the 21st, 1725, a long time ago. He was born to a godly mother, and she tried to raise her son in the ways of the Lord, but she became ill, and when he was 7 years old, she passed away. He had a stepmother, but they didn't get along too well. He left soon after that. He began to work as a cabin boy on naval vessels or on ships, and would travel around. And they tell us that he was a wicked young man, that even as a teenager, his speech was worse than the sailors. And that's no reference to our sailors, but he was just an ungodly, wicked man. But he rose up through the ranks and soon became a captain of a slave vessel. And he would go to Africa and would bring these slaves back to England, different places, but was just a wicked, wicked man. And the older he got, the more wicked he got. In fact, he was so wicked that his crew hated him. He fell overboard one day, and instead of sending a boat out to get him, they threw a whaling harpoon at him, and he grabbed it, and they pulled him back aboard. Just an ungodly man. On May the 10th, 1748, his ship was in a terrible storm. And he thought he was going to die. He thought the whole crew was going to drown. And he cried out to God to have mercy on him. And God did. God spared his life. This wicked man was touched by God. He began to get around some godly men like Whitfield and Wesley. And God changed this wicked young man into a saint of God. Saved his soul. Called him to preach. He began to preach in a place called Olney in England. And one of the things he did, much of the people in his church, they couldn't read. And so he would write a hymn every week, a doctrinal hymn to teach his people doctrine. And I just sidebar, if you were to base your doctrine on today's Christian music, can you imagine what it'd be like? That's just the music guy had to speak there just for a second. It was while he was pastoring this church that this old slave trader wrote the words, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." Amazing grace. This morning, we're going to finish our study of 1 Thessalonians. And it ends, Paul ends the book with grace. Now, here's something I did not know. Did you realize that every letter that Paul wrote, he started with grace, and he ended with grace? Every single one of the 13 books that he wrote, he opens with grace and ends with grace. One man said, "All that God provides in Christ is summed up in the word grace." So So I want to talk this morning about amazing grace. And here it is, the last verse, verse 28. Here ends his letter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I want to share three things with you this morning, if we survive that long, and we'll see what happens. Number one, the nature of grace. The nature of grace. Now, I could not find a single verse in the Word of God that specifically tells us what grace is, but there are some verses that help us to have a better understanding. One of those is Luke chapter 1 and verse 30. And you know the passage. It says, the angel of the Lord said unto her, this is Mary, the mother of Christ, fear not, Mary, here, listen, for thou hast found, what's the next word? Favor. You think it's grace. I fooled you, didn't I? Suckers. Actually, the reason you said grace is because you're all Greek scholars. And in the original language, it is the same word we translate grace in the rest of the Word of God, the word charis. Now, in the King James Version, it says, not grace, but she's found favor. Now, I use that illustration because God showed her favor. Every Jewish girl, their dream was to be the mother of the Messiah. And God showed her favor, not necessarily because she was perfect, as some people teach, but she was human just like the rest of us. But God showed her favor, showed her grace, and chose her to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Flip over to Romans chapter 11, and there's another great verse that really nails it down for us and will help us with our understanding of the word grace. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. Romans 11, verse 6. And he says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. You got that so far? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Now, did you get that? That's why I had you look at it. It's really simple, though, really, when you think about it. He's saying, look, it's either something you earn, or it's something God just gives you because he loves you. Now, this is a crucial point, folks, because we're living in a world where people say, oh, yeah, you trust Christ, and then you have to fill in the blank. Let me ask you a question. If the Lord said to Todd Harless, Todd, you can be saved by grace, and you accept Christ, but you do have to, you know, 90%, like we'll go 99% is given to you. There is 1% you have to do. What does it now become? Works. It's works. And Paul is saying, look, folks, it's either grace or works. Now, you'll run into all kinds of people, say, well, yeah, you know, it's grace, and then you have to be baptized. And then you have to join the church. And then you have, we're in free will Baptist country, then you have to live it. Look, folks, it's either grace or it's not. It's either something God freely gives you or it's something you earn. Now, Webster defines grace as unmerited love and favor of God towards man. Another man I read said, God's unmerited favor towards undeserving sinners because of his own great love. Now, there are some elements that are the same. One is it's God's favor. God is for you. Now, that's an amazing thought. We are sinners. We have broken the law of God. In fact, the Word of God says if you're not saved, you are the enemy of God. And yet God, the holy God of the universe, who made it all, who sustains it all, who has no sin, is for you. Now that's an amazing thought. That's grace. It also says it's something, it's unmerited. It's something we don't earn. It's something God gives to us that we don't earn. Now I want to illustrate grace for you this morning. It's great to have Brother Brubaker here. He drives a beautiful Honda Odyssey, silver, his pride and joy. Right after his wife. I have an old 91 Ford truck. It's a beauty. Red Ford. It's gorgeous. Actually, it cost me nothing. It's been a great, great truck. My daughter pulled out in front of somebody years ago, and she left her mark on the truck. And it's a little worse for wear, but it's still running. Hallelujah. The other day, Brubaker came here, and I drive my truck in, my beautiful red truck. And as I'm coming in the parking lot, I'm texting a very important message. Now, you don't, those know I hate texting, understand that. But And I'm not watching what I do, and I pull in right beside his Odyssey, and I put a big red racing stripe right down the side. And Larry says, my good friend, Larry Brubaker says, Gary, I love you. I used to love you. I love you, and because I do, I'm not going to make you fix my van. He said, I'll take care of that. In fact, I'm going to take that old truck of yours, and I'm going to pay to have all those dents taken out, and I'm going to have it repainted so it looks brand new. You want to get in on that, don't you? Now listen, folks, if he says to me, now Gary, I'm going to take care of it all. All you have to do when we get done is wash and wax my van. It's no longer grace. Now think about, probably none of us would do what I just talked about in that story. And yet God loved you so much that he gave his only son to unworthy, wicked sinners so that we could have salvation. Folks, that is grace. That's grace. So, first of all, the nature of grace. Secondly, I want you to see the name of the gracious one. You saw it in the passage. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the one who is gracious. The Lord, his divine name, the fact that he is the master, he's the supreme one. Jesus, his human name. The angel told Mary, name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the chosen one. He said, look, I want you to have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is he gracious? Well, here's an amazing truth. God, the God of the universe, hey, doesn't that breeze feel good? I don't know if that's you with that letter. Keep fanning, sister. Hallelujah, that feels good. I like that. God is a gracious God. Let me give you a story back in Exodus. Moses, God's man, the leader of Israel, wanted to know God. He wanted to know what God was like. And he said, God, show me yourself. And so you know the story. The Lord said, all right, Moses, you stand over here behind the rock because if you see all of me, you will die. You can't handle that. And he said, I'm gonna let my attributes, my being pass before you, and you're going to see exactly what I'm like. And here is what happened. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. Listen, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Oh, I like this word. Long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. My friends, one of the very attributes of God is that God is gracious. God is a God of grace. In fact, in 1 Peter 5:10, it says, the God of all grace. Where does grace come from? Well, it all comes from God. In Psalm 103:8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. In Psalm 116:5, it says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. You say, wait a minute. You're talking about God and you're talking about Jesus Christ. Now, you know this. You've been in church. But what's true about Jesus Christ? He is God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. And what happens in verse 14 of that passage? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father. What's the last couple words? Full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ. He is God, the God of grace. And the Word of God says in Luke 2:40, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Why? Because he was God. Think about the record of his graciousness. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And then I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 8:9. Boy, this is a great verse. 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians 8:9. I'll read when the pages stop turning. 2 Corinthians, right after 1 Corinthians 8, 9. You got it? For we know the what? Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. That though he was rich. Let me stop for a second. How was he rich? How was he rich? Well, he was God. He was the Son of God in heaven, worshiped by the angels, knowing all the things of God because he was God. He said he was rich. And yet the word of God says in this passage, for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Years ago, my dad had a church in Ohio, and he would do what he called his junior sermon every Sunday. And he would get up at some point before the kids would go to junior church, and he would use some kind of illustration. I remember one time when I was a kid, he used a torch, you know, and it had this thing lit, you know, with his gas thing. And he had me come up on the platform, and he said, now, my son, trust me. There you go. That's the reason. Illustration. That didn't really happen, okay? I mean, all but the last part, okay? This is his fault too, though, actually. All right. A couple years ago when I was in Ohio, he asked me to do the junior sermon. And I'd been reading this verse, and I thought, man, what a neat verse. And so I called a young man up, and I had written a check for $100,000, which was kind of a joke. It was on my checking account. 75 cents, he could have cashed it. 100,000, But I gave him that check, and I said, look, if I give you this check, it means that I am now poor, but you're rich. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us, folks. He became poor. He came into this world. He left the glory of heaven. He laid aside some of his attributes, took on a human form, and he became poor. Why? So we could become rich. This morning, the choir is singing, it was for me he died. And folks, he became poor for you so you could be rich spiritually. The grace of God. Oh my, what a wonderful truth, folks. Now, why do you need it? Let me give you the final point. We're doing great. The need for grace. Let me give you three things. Number one, why do you need God's grace? You help me. What's the most obvious one? We're sinful. We need his grace for salvation. For salvation. The word of God is so clear. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all kinds of folks here today. Some of you I know, some of you I don't know. But I do know one thing about all of you and myself. We've all broken the law of God. You say, oh, Gary, but I've never committed adultery. Yeah, maybe not, but have you lied? And if you say no, you just sinned. Okay? We've all broken the law of God. But do you realize, and I'll be honest with you, most of the time when I'm witnessing to people, that's not a real issue. You're adults, you understand that. But here is the issue that people don't like. The Word of God also says the wages of sin is death. Because we are sinners and God is a holy God, we've come short of his glory. The Word of God is very clear, folks, that we cannot go to God's heaven. We have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Now that's true of all of us. Okay, no matter who you are, that's true of all of us. But here's the great news. The Word of God also says, while we were yet sinners, now this is grace, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I want you to stop for just a moment and think about Calvary. The perfect Son of God hanging on a cross. Yes, great physical suffering, but folks, that wasn't the greatest part of it. That wasn't the worst part of it. The worst part of it was when Jesus died on the cross, Larry Gallion, every one of your sins was laid on Jesus Christ. Diana Gallion, every one of your sins that you would ever commit were laid on Jesus Christ. Micah Johnson, hallelujah, brother, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, every one of your sins was laid on him. Every one of them was laid on Jesus Christ. And he paid for my sin. And he paid for your sin. Hallelujah. What a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free. Hallelujah. I will ever tell the story shouting, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. What a great truth. My friend, if you're here today and you're not sure of heaven, Jesus Christ died for you to pay for your sin so you wouldn't have to. Now someone's going to pay for your sin, either you or Jesus Christ. There was a day as a young boy that I turned by faith to Christ and I asked him to save me, to forgive me of my sin. I placed my faith in Christ to take away all my sin. And you know what he did? That's exactly what he did. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. My friend, you need the grace of God today for salvation. You'll never get to heaven by your own works, your own merit. It cannot be done. It cannot be done. You've got to have the grace of God. I wonder this morning, before we move on to the next point, have you received the grace of God in salvation? If you were to die today, do you have the assurance in your heart that you would wake up in heaven? Now, the great news is, if you're saying no, the great news is you can before you leave today. By faith, you can receive Christ. You can trust in what he did on the cross to get you to heaven. And you know what's going to happen for all eternity? Listen to this great verse, Ephesians 2:7. We know 2:8-9, but what about 2:7? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know what? For all eternity, you know what you're going to be doing in heaven? Phil, you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be saying, I am the man. I am Phil Free. And I got to heaven because I, right? Not a chance. For all eternity, we're trophies of grace. And we just sit there and we're just testimonies to the grace of God for all eternity. What a great truth. What a great truth. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we've just begun. And hallelujah, if you're saved today for all eternity, you're going to be praising God for his wonderful grace and sending Jesus Christ to save your soul. So we need God's grace for salvation. Secondly, we need God's grace for suffering. You say today, Gary, oh, I'm sure I'm saved. I've been saved, but boy, we've been going through some tough times. I am so glad that God's grace is enough for your trouble. You've heard some prayer requests this morning of people in great trials. We spent some time with Larry and Lavanda last night, and he shared with me some things, some folks that he knew that were going through some great trials, and this one family where the ladies have this terrible disease, and it's just almost incomprehensible. And I look around this room and I see some folks who've been through some great, great trials. What do you do? I talked to Larry Stover this last week and called him, I think, I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday, and talked to him about his granddaughter and he said, well, you know, we're just trusting the Lord. And I said, you know, I know it sounds trivial sometimes, but the Word of God says, my grace is sufficient. Boy, I like that verse. I use it a lot. You know, you may be here this morning and going through a great trial. And you've prayed, and you've prayed, and you've prayed. Hey, I got good news for you. You're just like the Apostle Paul. Because he had a lot of trouble. And he had a thorn in the flesh. And you know, he prayed 3 times, Lord, take this away from me. Lord, take it away from me. Now, some people would say, he wasn't very spiritual. If he had enough faith, God would have taken that. I don't think I know anybody that's got more faith than the Apostle Paul. Okay? By the way, the people that say that, they get sick too. And you know what happens to them? After a while, they die too. I don't care how much faith they have. But I want to tell you something. The Lord told Paul no. No, I'm not going to heal you. Now, sometimes God does. Sometimes God doesn't. When he does, it's the grace of God. When he doesn't, it's the grace of God. And if the Lord says no, I want to encourage you folks that the same thing that he said to the Apostle Paul is true of you. My grace is sufficient. And he goes on and he says, look, when you're weak, that's when I'm going to make you strong. And you know what, folks? When you're going through a trial and suffering, that is an opportunity to see God work in your life in a mighty way. You say, Gary, I'm in this trial. I have no idea how I'm going to make it. I just can't bear it. I just can't take it. I just don't know what to do. Hey, you're in good shape, folks, to see God do something mighty in your life. Let's be honest. When everything's going great, everybody's healthy, you got lots of money in the bank, everything's great, your job's, you know. How much do you think you need the grace of God? But woman, it's all falling apart. Hallelujah. You know you need the grace of God. You know you need the Lord's help. And what a joy to know that as believers, we can come to the throne of grace boldly. That's an amazing word. And we receive help and grace in time of need. What a great truth. What a great truth. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe this far. And how does it end? And grace, hello, James. You get all those cars parked? Good man. Good. And how does it end? And grace will lead us home. When will the grace of God fail you? Can't happen. Look, if it does, then God's a liar. If God's a liar, he's not God. Okay? God helps us in suffering. Thirdly and finally, God helps us and gives us his grace for service. For service. Let me give you a thought. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. You say, what in the world does that mean? It's talking about spiritual gifts. Mike Hubbard, are you saved? I ask you this every week. One of these days, he's going to say no. And then we'll deal with it. He's still saved. That's good. Randolph, I'm going to ask you. All right. Look, if you're saved, I know one thing for sure about you. Well, there are several things I know for sure. But this one I know for sure. God has given you spiritual gifts, at least one, maybe many, for his work. Now, if you're saved in this room this morning, I could say the same thing about you. God has given every believer a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts to be used in the work of God. Now, let me ask you a question. What percentage of believers are practicing all of those gifts? My dad used to say 20% of the Christians do all the work in the church. That's probably about true. Why is that? Why don't we as believers use the gifts that God, the gifts and the talents that God has given us for his work, why don't we use them? I heard something. Come on, some brave soul. And here's the problem. The reason you're not answering is because the answer is fear. That's exactly right, and you're afraid to give the wrong answer, so you're not going to say anything. Why don't we do what God wants us to do? Because we're afraid to fail. We're afraid to step out and we say, oh man, if I try to do that, man, I will fail. Oh, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be horrendous. It's going to be a wreck on the highway. You know, we're just not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Listen to this verse. This is great. Ephesians 4:7. Now I already told you that God gives you the spiritual gifts. Listen, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Do you get that? Everybody, gifts of Christ. We have spiritual gifts. He's given all the spiritual gifts, and he gives us grace, strength to use those spiritual gifts. You say, Gary, God is calling me to do something. God wants me to hand out a tract when I go through the checkout, or God wants me to do this or do this or this, but you know what? I am afraid. Wait a minute. The grace of God is there for you to help you to do what you need to do. I've been here for a long time, but I think it was a year ago, this dawned on me. I was a little overwhelmed what was going on. I think I think pastor was out of town, and I was supposed to teach, and I was supposed to preach, and I was supposed to do all the visitation and visit the hospitals and do everything and be a husband and, you know, and all those things too. And I just got a little overwhelmed. And this thought came to me. Seaman, if God wants you to do it, hallelujah, he's going to give you the grace and the strength to get it done. Isn't that logical? Some of you have small children. You would never ask an 8-year-old child, I hope. Well, let me go drop down to make it real. List. You would never ask your 5-year-old. Anybody have a 5-year-old in here?
I have no granddaughter.
5-year-old granddaughter? Okay. Well, that's close enough. You know, we're not real picky. You would never ask a 5-year-old granddaughter to jump in the car and go down to Walmart and buy a bunch of stuff. At least I hope not. If you do, they put people like you in special places, you know. No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. You don't ask your children if you have any wisdom to do things they can't do. Now, you have finite wisdom. You don't really know, in some cases, how much your kid can do or can't do. But if that's true of us, don't you think that your Heavenly Father is going to say, Paul Lynch, I want you to serve me in a certain way. And you say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And you get out there and he says, okay, just fall flat on your face. And the Lord said, I showed you, ha ha, right? That's not going to happen. The Lord's grace is sufficient for what he wants you to do. And you may be sitting here as a believer and saying, you know, I know God wants me to do this, but man, I just don't know. Trust God. His grace, his help will be enough. This is not true with original with me, but it's a great saying. God's calling is God's what? God's enabling. If God calls you to do it, he's going to help you to do it. The grace of God. Now, if you were to travel to London today and go to a place called St. Peter, St. Paul Church Cemetery, over in the corner, not a huge stone or anything, you'd find a small marker, and it says this: John Newton, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, listen, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. Wow. That's the amazing grace of God. Now, in conclusion this morning, let me ask you, how do you need God's grace today? If you're here this morning, you're not sure of heaven, you need to receive God's saving grace. The Word of God says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will. If you're here today and you're not saved, I can tell you God's will for your life. Come by faith and trust Christ and allow him to cleanse you from sin and to save you and to change your life forever. That's God's will for you today. And I hope you'll stay and hear Dr. Comfort as he preaches this morning, and you'll hear more about that very same thing, I'm sure. But probably the majority here today would say, Gary, I'm a believer. I know a time when I turned from sin and I turned to Christ. I know I'm saved. Do you need God's grace today for your suffering? Are you going through a tough time? I know some of you are. I want to remind you, God's grace is enough for the trial. It's enough. And then you may be this morning and saying, you know, I'm not doing anything for the Lord. God is working my heart to do something for him specifically, and I'm just afraid to step out. My friend, God's grace will be enough. It will be enough if you will just step out by faith and do it. I wonder today if the theme of your life is amazing grace. Amazing grace. Are you seeing the grace of God in your life? If not, you can today. All right? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this nice cool breeze, your mercy and grace to us. And Lord, what a great truth we've studied this morning. And Lord, I pray that as believers, we would be looking to you for grace and strength and help. If there are some here today that aren't sure of heaven, I pray that before they leave our grounds this morning, they would place their faith in Christ and take part in that amazing grace that can take an old wicked sinner and make them a saint of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.